We're back on RBN Live. This is Desi Andrews, together with Ralph Winterode. And Dylan, thank you so much for holding on. Dylan in Texas. Maybe. Dylan? Is Dylan still there, Barbara? Dylan appears to have left the building. Am I still on? Ralph?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I didn't know if I was talking to myself. Okay, it appears that Dylan is gone. I appreciate everybody kind of holding off on calls today because the point that Ralph is going over is so extremely, extremely important. And it's a very, very difficult concept to grasp. But I encourage anybody to call in and get this straightened out for themselves. The number is 800-313-9443. Because you really do have to understand your status or we're just going to continue to be... to have none, basically.
Well, it has to do also with another important concept of citizenship here is with the Internal Revenue Code because of the Anti-Injunction Act. They have Title 7421, where they try to say that you don't have access to any court of equity for an injunction to stop tax collection. Well, the case that sits on is Williams Packing. And that particular case happens to be about collecting unemployment and Social Security taxes.
So it's an employer's case.
Well, it is, but the part that makes it out, what makes it really stand out is the fact that when you are a citizen of the United States, then you're stuck into this statutory world where Congress has plenary power to do anything they want. So, but the interesting part is when Social Security number attaches. You absolutely are totally without any courts of justice, and Congress can take this administrative state, and they can deny you access to the courts of equity. And that's what they do. They deny you the court of equity, and they say, and it says right in the Williams Packing, we can totally ruin your business because you have a remedy at law when you get all through. Now, you know that our constitutional republic was not set up that way, but that's how you deal with the 7421 Anti-Injunction Act, which right now we've got one case getting ready to go to the Supreme Court of the United States, see if we can get in there, and we've got two more of them in the Ninth Circuit right now.
Yeah, that Williams Packing is pretty shocking because the employer said it would ruin them financially if they had to pay this thing that they didn't think they owed, and the court said, too bad, didn't they?
They all cases, and this started back basically around the Civil War, and you can see the transition because they used to be, if you were under import-export and you were in a customs-type situation where you had a license, like for alcohol, you had a license, then they could make this stick. But see, we have no license. We have no permission to be in this something that they can control. And all of a sudden, it slid itself over ever since we got the Social Security Act of 1935, that they can now make application to the people because we signed up for a federal benefit. That's why you will always see on your driver's licenses, it's in Title 42666 of the United States Code. Whether it's on your license or not, it's there, guaranteed. You won't have a criminal prosecution without it. It's there. It is attached to you. Usually up here, they put them right on the complaints because they have to attach that, and then you go into the jury room to have a jury, federal or state, and they always ask, they must ask the status with which those people are sitting there because they can say no.
Yep, they always ask. Is everybody here a United States citizen? Ralph, Dylan's back, and then Lewis wants to say something after Dylan. Dylan? Dylan?
Hi, y'all.
Hello?
Howdy, y'all.
Hi.
I just want to state my position. I consider y'all slightly more learned than I, at the very least, and you are my seniors, as you have much more experience.
I think you
said
you're old, Ralph.
I think.
Go ahead.
I hear the music coming up.
Okay, you don't cut yourself off again, all right?
Okay.
We'll pick you up after the break.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
With Mother's Day rapidly approaching on May 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts, and when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses, dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Okay, we're back on RBN Live. This is Bessie Andrews together with Ralph Winterode and Dylan. Go ahead.
All right, y'all. Thank you. I feel it's significant also that I share with you what I did not expect to, because I did not expect it. When I cut myself off on the phone, I went to the bathroom to powder my feet and put on some clean socks, and the Lord came to me in your voice, Desi, saying, "You're making a mistake." And then I came to the phone and realized I cut myself off. Now I'll continue. I'll try to make this brief as possible. My position is I follow Yahweh, the God of the Bible. I'm in covenant with Him through His Son, Yahshua HaMashiach, a.k.a. Jesus Christ. And as far as laymen are concerned, I have benefited personally slightly more from the information that Eric Williams puts out than y'all. However, this is what I have to share. The very first book of the New Testament, chapter 2, wise men declare that out of Judah shall come a governor that shall rule his people Israel. So I consider myself an Israelite. I am a subject unto my sovereign, the King of Kings. And as far as citizens go, in the book of Luke, it's just 3 verses, and then I'm finished. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 13 through 15, this is here where the word citizen comes in. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. That's occupy with a capital O. But his citizens hated him. These are the words of Christ. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And that's my position, and that's my 2 cents.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call, Dylan. Lewis? Are you still there, Lewis?
I'd like to bring something very important conclusion to how to bring the judges to a point where they have to recognize your status as the juror citizen under the original constitutions.
Please do.
Okay. Now, everybody needs to call to the National Archives in Washington, D.C. In the 1950s, they took the what they called the original federal U.S. Constitution out of its case, and they took a photograph of it. And you can order a certified copy of it from the National Archives in Washington, D.C. It's 4 pages. It's poster size. And guess what it doesn't have on it, Desi?
The 14th Amendment.
And it doesn't have the 16th Amendment.
And it doesn't have the 14th and the 13th Amendment.
Yes. So how would you like to be the first people to put out this news on your radio station right now, how to successfully argue that the 14th and 16th Amendment has never been ratified? What you have to do is get a certified copy of that U.S. Constitution and place it into evidence. You'd make three additional copies of it. You'd put an affidavit as a cover plate saying basically Exhibit A as offer of proof number one. And then you require the court to take judicial notice of it under Evidence Rule 201, that this is a self-authenticating document, because Evidence Rule 902 in every single state statute and federal book says any document that has the seal of the custodian of records on it or of the National Archives is required to be admitted into evidence.
Well, Lewis, what we've done here is we have one of those Laws of Virginia books here in Texas, and so if it's in the archives in your own state, you can use it as evidence as well. So what we did is get certified copies from the archivist of the Constitution through the 13th Amendment that was published in the Laws of Virginia in 1812.
And, no, 1819. I have the original book.
Right. Okay, 1819, and that's what we put in.
Okay, and also what you want to do is go to the archives division for each of your state and get a certified copy with the seal of the state on it of each original state constitution. And here's how you bring a controversy before the court that will really scare the crap or bejesus out of the judge. You put the real federal constitution in Exhibit A. Then you copy the federal constitution that's in your current statute book and put that in as Exhibit B. And you create 2 affidavits, one stating, I'm a citizen of this United States under this constitution. And you put in a 2nd affidavit saying, I am not a citizen of this corporate state and this phony constitution. I don't claim the benefits out of this one. I claim the benefits out of the other one. And then you would do the same thing with the certified copy of your original state constitution and claim to be a citizen of that state and claim the benefits or privileges out of that constitution, and then go to your current statute book and get the current state constitution and put that in as like Exhibit D and say, I'm not a citizen of this corporate state and I don't claim the benefits of this phony constitution. You bring in the 2 state constitutions and the 2 U.S. constitutions, watch the judges run out of the courtroom after they dismiss your case.
Well,
I've done it here in Washington.
Here's a question. I know in Washington your research showed that there were 2 constitutions,
every state has 2 or 3 or more. Michigan even has 6.
Well, so where do we go for the Constitution?
You have to go to the Archives Division of your Secretary of State's office.
Right, but which Constitution do we get from that?
The first one is the original one, and then you want to look at your Enabling Act to see when they were admitted to the Union and discover which constitution was presented to Congress.
Okay, like Texas.
And that would be the last one that you could use.
Right. Well, Texas is a conundrum. I've gone over that with Rhett. With Ralph, it was erected It's real. It's got real hinky language in it, which, and it was passed by joint resolution. I mean, it's really hinky. So I'm of the opinion that in Texas, the only constitution we could use is the 1836 Republic of Texas Constitution.
Yes, but there's one more problem that you got to overcome. These constitutions have been suspended and placed into archives. They're no longer in the public domain.
Well, when you say suspended, you mean they're just not published.
Okay, look up the definition of archives in your law dictionary, then go to your state archives office and ask what is the statute that creates their office and what is their policy statement or mission statement, and you're going to find out, like it says here in Washington, that the purpose of the archives is the place where they put documents that are no longer currently in use and are scheduled for destruction. So my solution, the remedy to overcome that these constitutions, this is why the judges won't take notice of it, because they're not in the public domain.
Right.
They're not in the office of the Secretary of State for the state. So here's what you do to overcome that. You get certified copies of them from either archives with the seal on it. Then you go to the superior court of your state, the court of record or court of general jurisdiction. You open up a miscellaneous case. You file those certified documents into your court of record. And then you get the court clerk to certify three or four more copies back out with the seal of the court on it. Then you take your blue ink pen, you sign all those documents again, and refile the same copy of the Constitution that you just filed, except it has the seal of the court on it this time. Then, now that you have a superior court case number on it, every state county recorder's office has an exemption for margin requirements that if your document is has a superior court case number on it, it's exempt from the margin requirements of the county recorder. Then what you do is you file that constitution that's been certified by your court clerk and your archives into the county recorder's office. That puts your constitution back into the public domain in the county recorder and the county superior court, and then you want to serve all your state officials and go serve every state office from the governor all the way down. And do a proof of service, and then go file it in the county recorder at the seat of your government, like here in Olympia, Washington, is our government, our seat of government.
You're an ambitious boy, Lewis.
Well, I spent about probably $6,000, $7,000 of my own money, and I certified the constitutions in at least five counties right now here in Washington, and it's got the judges scared. You just won't believe it.
I can see how that would work.
Well, every time I did it, I discovered that they shut down every single court in the state of Washington and held huge judicial conferences for which they did not even allow prosecutors to attend.
And what was the resolve?
Well, basically, they're calling in all the judges and saying, we have a problem. These guys have discovered how we set aside the real constitutions and how we've been able to ignore it, and now they're going to be able to force us to look at it. And here's the final trick. Once you get all this stuff certified and served on everybody, you go to the county recorder's office and you get a certified copy of your so-called judge's oath, even if it's a phony oath, and you put that in next to the Constitution and say, well, Your Honor, you swore to uphold the Constitution. Here's your oath, and here's the Constitution, the real one, and here's the phony one.
I believe it has to work.
Yeah, it does work. I've done it.
Ralph, what do you think? Ralph?
Yes.
What do you
it's
think?
Hard to hear what he's saying there. Yeah, I've got several other things that I've been doing not quite along that same line, but in the rules of evidence and stuff. But it still gets back to your status. And the bottom line is, we've got, just like we've got troopers, we've got judges, and I've put in certified copies in some of this. And there are, if you're, some of these guys are not going to listen to anything. I mean, hey, there's just nothing there, and you got to get out of that court and get to another court. Some of these guys are totally out of control.
Yeah, they are. Thanks, Lewis. I appreciate your calling.
Thank you for having me.
Linda, right. Linda in Wisconsin. Hello, Linda.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Is this Betsy?
Yeah, Betsy.
There was a woman that John had on his program that went through the, I'm getting a real bad connection here. Are you getting it?
No, I can hear you.
Okay, but every time I talk, it squelches back into my ear. There was a woman that he had on, and she had taken the Federalist Papers and rewrote them in language so that you and I could understand it, because these men that wrote in those days had such a profound understanding of the English language that it's far beyond us today.
That they did.
Even the most educated person has a difficult time. I have the Federalist Papers, and
right.
I've tried to read them, and I have to have the dictionary and look up every other word.
Linda,
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Thank you. This is we're on RBN Live. I'm Desi Andrews, together with Ralph Winterode, and we were talking to Linda in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Linda, about the Federalist Papers.
Yes. The point I wanted to make about that, if we could get that lady to come back on and promote that again, and make that available for people, there has to be a way for us to get to the average person, such as the Citizens Rule Book, something simplified to explain to particularly young people. I think that with the elderly people, and of course I'm elderly myself, there's always hope for us. But these judges and lawyers and these congressmen and senators, the city council, it's sort of like they're scorpions, and trying to present themselves as butterflies, and the only thing that's going to happen in our country to make this better is to allow the Lord, and I mean that literally, to allow Jesus Christ, the God of this land, to get rid of these people. There has to be a cleansing. And it's almost like we're going to have to start fresh again. In order to get rid of this old way of thinking, these young children go through the schools where they're brainwashed. If you were to walk up to the average person today, whether it was a teenager, a 40, 50-year-old man or woman, and ask them, do we live in a constitutional republic or a democracy? They would probably say a democracy.
Well, they hear it all the time. What else would they know?
That's what I mean. And they don't know. They don't know the difference. They don't know why there should be a difference. And if you were to ask them, say, 101 different questions about, does the government have the right to do this or that, and why is it wrong, they wouldn't be able to tell you. Because we, like Charlotte Iserby says, we've been so dumbed down. I don't know how we're going to correct this problem.
Well, Linda, that's exactly what we're doing on this program. We're trying to increase the knowledge here. We're working on it.
Believe me, I'm not putting you down.
No, I understand that. I understand, but...
When I was listening to the other gentleman that was talking about going and getting out the Constitution and so on, I was thinking about this young Helmut Huebner that lived in Nazi Germany in 1942, and he fought against Hitler. Now, only on paper, he wrote against him. Well, he was taken into the People's Court. Well, they allowed Helmut Huebner to speak, and he was allowed to say what he wanted to say, but then they took him and they beheaded him. That's the kind of country we're living in today.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because Ralph is incorporating a lot of German words into his... Ralph, do you want to... Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, speak up about the German stuff.
Well, this is where we are today. We have Germany right here today. Then we are being treated just exactly like the Jews, this Juden.
Die Juden.
Desi does German stuff, so I get around and I try to clear it through her to make sure I'm getting the words. But I've been looking up. This is the problem that we have today. We all have this little number attached to us that's not hasn't been burned into us yet, like it was the Jews in Germany. But we have the old SS out here and the Gestapo. We have all these people out here that are out. And they have no police power, and we don't understand what's going on. We're just totally clueless. And I like to get the documents to prove it, and I'm confronting these people, and it is making a difference. And what I'm trying to do, though, is just getting these guys cornered in the courts and the senators and legislators and make them change the laws, because it's so complicated. It seems simple when you get the concept down, but it's really complicated if you're coming from ground zero, just like what I explained on citizenship. Probably very few people could even begin to repeat what I just said.
Yes, and as much as I know about the Constitution now, I would not feel comfortable going into a courtroom or even some of the city councils that meetings that I've been to or when I've confronted my congressman. There's only so far I can go and so much that I can say. And you have to, these people are smart.
They're so non-responsive when you do that too.
Mm-hmm. And they know the Constitution in the sense that they know how to get around and usurp it. And, you know, when you present them with a question, they know what the correct answer is. But then when they go to Washington, then they implement the opposite of what they said
exactly.
To the people.
It's just like Ralph said, we have no representation. Thank you so much for your call, Linda. Appreciate your calling in. Richard in Alabama?
Give me I haven't heard most of your program.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, a judge said something kind of interesting to me a few weeks ago. And he said, no one has a claim against you. I cannot arraign you. You are free to go. However, if you do not appear for trial on the 20th of June,
we're
going to
come and get you. Okay, Richard, can you hang on? We've got to go to break right now.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
With Mother's Day rapidly approaching on May 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting
now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Hello, we're back. This is Desi Anders. I'm with Ralph Winterode, and we're speaking with Richard in Alabama.
I just wanted you to listen to this and comment on what the judge said. The judge said, no one has a claim against you. I cannot arraign you. You are free to go. However, if you do not appear for trial on the 20th of June, you will be arrested.
Okay.
Isn't that really a contradiction?
Yes, they're doing something along that same line up here, what I've done, because I just went to trial here, and I have to get tangled up with some other issues here, but there had never even been a plea entered, and if there's no plea entered, there's nothing for the jury to try.
Nor for the judge to have jurisdiction.
Yeah, because if there's no arraignment, what they've done, I'll ask if you go to my home page, justbelly.com, J-U-S-B-E-L-L-I.com, you will see the 1949 code. We no longer have preliminary examinations where they brought somebody in under oath and you had an actual public officer with an oath of office to support and defend the Constitution as an officer of the United States or as a public officer if you were into the one of the several states. They bypassed that. They call them pre-indictment hearings. And all they do on those, they just bring in a complaint, and there's nobody sworn in, and it's just to scare you, and they send you right into the grand jury. And what they did is they moved and you'll find this in probably every one of the, quote, court rule books of your state. They moved the preliminary examination out of the law, the legislative venue, into a rule of court. Usually it's in 5.1 of your courts. And so you can't have any substantive rights in a rule of court. It's only supposed to be about procedure. And I talked to one of the prominent attorneys in Alaska, and he said, you won't live long enough because what they do is, I don't remember, I think it's 10 days. They have 10 days they can hold you, and then the indictment comes down, and they have to turn you loose. It's either 10 or 20 days. I think it's 10. But he said, you'll never see a preliminary examination. They don't do them anymore. It's in the rule of court book, but this is never going to happen. And this is the game that these guys, that's what I was just trying to tell Lewis and some of these things with the judges, is that these guys are out of control. They have no respect for any law because they know right now they can break every law. It doesn't make a difference what you put in front of them. Yeah, I've had judges run out of the courtroom too, but the bottom line is there is no rule of law today. They just get away with whatever they want. And this is really a scary proposition when you come up against it.
So are you going to court, Richard?
Well, it's that or jail.
Isn't that amazing? We don't have anything on you. We can't do anything with you, but we're going to do it anyway.
Well, first thing is, if you go in there like I did on mine, and I've got mine up on appeal of this case where they put me in jail for 20 days just to try to teach me something, and they did. They just firmed up that they're going to lose. The bottom line is you can go in and disqualify the jury because there's no issue of national requirement when they say, is everybody in there a citizen of the United States? They will ask the jury that. I guarantee you they
always
have to.
Always.
And as soon as they do that, I just went up and I asked them if anybody applied for a federal benefit, and I wanted a show of hands, and then I said, is everybody here a citizen of the United States, like the judge said, and you're sure of that? Well, of course, you can go on further, but you've already impeached these people, because as soon as they do that status, you can go to the Sixth Amendment. If you want to go at it from the 14th Amendment back to the Sixth Amendment, it says a jury of the state. It doesn't say a jury of the United States.
And if you're not a United States citizen, it has to be a jury of your peers, and they're just not there, are they?
United States citizen. Citizen of the United States. If you say United States citizen, you're including nationals and citizen of the United States. It's citizen of the United States. That's the words they like to use.
Right.
And that's defined in the United States Code in Title 5, 2 and 13, which is an individual, and it's under federal personnel that's receiving a or has made application for a federal benefit. And that's how they've hooked us. And I don't know if you heard my analogy. Did you hear my analogy to the native, to the Indians?
No, I don't think he did. He said he didn't listen to her. No.
He's gone, I guess.
Richard, are you still there?
Yeah. Do you want to listen to what arraignment consists of?
Go ahead.
They tell all the defendants to line up and come forward cafeteria style before the judge and state their name. Each one step forward, state their name. They write their name down, and then they perhaps bargain with them, or they can just leave. But that's all it is. Just like a cafeteria, you state your name, and then you leave. I didn't do that. I said, "Do you know anyone who has a claim against me?" And that frustrated him, and he asked my name, and I said, it's a responsibility of the claimant to identify me. And then he said what I told you, he said. So
he just generally wasn't happy with you, was he?
No, he didn't seem to be upset. He didn't seem to care.
No, they don't care.
Well, do you have a claim and all that? And that's, there's validity to people that are using the this commercial stuff, commercial law. The problem that you run into is because we have no law, technically where we are in commercial law. There's no doubt about it. But you have no sovereign rights, no inalienable rights in commercial law, so you'll never get the republic back. And that doesn't mean that you can't use some of the commercial UCC and all that as valid. I mean, there's a lot of ramifications to that that I used to deal with.
It's just that if we don't get the republic back, we're just stuck like Chuck.
We are like fighting a whole army of octopuses. You fight an arm, and you chop off one arm, and three more grab you.
Right, so we have to get back to a republic.
If you haven't seen V for Vendetta, because I'm going to have some things to put out for people to do to expose this, and just like what I have made the comparison to the natives in Alaska, is they have the same status that, quote, I supposedly have if I were a registered voter and I want to join up into this world. But if I'm not there, I mean, how can we both, one sitting outside the Constitution, supposedly one's in, and we both have exactly the same status? It's illogical. And then you go look at what Congress does. Congress doesn't enter office as a citizen of the United States. I got the one for the Senate. They don't enter office because they can't. They enter as a citizen of the United States of America, traveling citizenship to one of the several states.
Yes, and Ralph had to go to great lengths to get that employment application, and we haven't been able to get one for congressmen. It's pretty amazing. They're well kept secrets.
Yeah, I only got one congressman, and they got me pegged, so there's no way I can get it in Alaska.
Well, we've tried
else
here.
Can come up with it.
And they don't want to give it up. Don't want to give it up. Okay, well, good luck when you go to court, Richard, and thanks for calling. Paul in New York?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Boy, thank God he took my call. I was getting sick just listening to that stuff. That's like mind-boggling, you know, trying to figure out which way is which and which person or which citizen you are. Isn't that, I want to know.
New York?
Ralph, can you tell me how a person would become a citizen?
There are several ways that you become. It's called a post-status. Anybody who was born, I mean anybody, after 1776, July 4th, you are an American citizen. That's the status back then before the United States of America come along, and then we all citizens of the United States of America, lowercase c, that's your traveling citizenship, and you're in New York. And if you were born in New York or you're presently domiciled in New York, you are a citizen of New York, and that is where your primary responsibility or where your inalienable rights are.
Who says so? Like, who got the authority to, I mean, first of all, did you say that we were all citizens before 1776?
No. After July 4th, 1776, the Declaration
of
Independence, we all
became one. And we chase all the redcoats out. Now we're all standing there looking at each other. What do we do? Who decides everybody's a citizen? I thought everybody was equal at that point.
Well, you are equal, but you're equal as a citizen because you have to be a member of a political body to have any standing.
If you don't want to be a part of that, then what happens? I mean, you're there. You chased out the redcoats. Now you're there, and you don't want to be a part of their club. Well, then what? They just turn around and shoot you, or do they say, well, you're in either way now?
Well, then you're an outlaw, as he said before. You're an outlaw.
You don't want to have any type of citizen status?
No. What's the benefits of being a citizen?
Well, it is a social compact. And that is where your inalienable rights are secured, and you have a lawful government. So if you get in a pistol match, you don't have to get the gun out and go shoot your neighbor.
But if I already had those rights, I don't need them to tell me that, do I?
No, they're not telling you that. This is a way.
I saw in the 14th Amendment it says that citizens have privileges and immunities. It didn't say anything about rights.
That's the 14th Amendment.
That's the 14th Amendment. It's all about being a citizen.
Different kind. 14th
Amendment. The 14th Amendment looks like that's where it actually defines what a 14th Amendment, I mean, what a citizen is.
We're not talking for it. Go ahead, Ralph.
Now, your 14th Amendment is privileges and immunities. Read down in it of the citizen is of the United States. That's what I talked to. Did you hear the first hour?
Well, you know what? I was listening, and then I got a phone call, and I think I missed something that you said there. So you were talking about being two different types of citizens, one of the state and one of the United States. But, you know, it just says in the Constitution here under the 14th Amendment that, citizens only have privileges and immunities.
Forget about the 14th Amendment. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hi. You are a citizen of New York. Your privileges and immunity, your inalienable rights from your creator are secured, and you give a limited delegation of power to New York. Now, it, of course, has been changed over. You have a corporate-type state. Your primary citizenship, that's where you have your inalienable rights protected, and the government can't get around and do anything against them, is being a citizen of New York. Now, if you start off the other way, a citizen of the United States with the 14th Amendment, that was only initially for Negroes that came within the area of New York, and they would be treated the same as you being a white citizen.
But I was reading the Constitution, and I didn't see where it said anything that the 14th Amendment was about Negroes. As a matter of fact, that word's not in the 14th Amendment at all.
It's, well, you need to,
Are
you on the Internet?
I'm on the net. You know, I got to tell you something, but it just sounds to me like it's getting real confusing. If you just read the words in the Constitution, it's really pretty clear.
Yeah, but you're reading the Constitution, just as Lewis said. You're reading the New Revision. You're not reading the Constitution. The Constitution that is the organic Constitution ends before what is now the 13th Amendment.
Well, I'm looking at the current Constitution of this country
accepted. It's of this state, the very thing that we're trying to stay away from. The 14th Amendment, the 16th Amendment, those things create, the 17th, they create this state, which is the federal, it's Washington, D.C. It's outside the Constitution.
Well, I'm just trying to go back to what the privileges are. What would be the benefits of being a citizen of anything?
That's what
I don't understand.
New York, your privileges and immunities of your inalienable rights, which predated the original states, but when it came into effect, you had them. And the only place you can claim them is being the status of a citizen of New York. If you want to move on up into the 13th and 14th Amendments and all of those, the first thing that automatically is wrong with them is you have to go at the very bottom of those, quote, amendments and says Congress can do whatever they want. You've given a full, unlimited power of attorney to Congress. Who in his right mind would do that? Number two, the privileges and immunities of national citizenship, which is the only place Congress can deal with legally. There is nothing about inalienable rights on the national side. That's what I was reading earlier, and that's why the slaughterhouse cases and the Cruikshank and those delineated out that if you come down as a citizen of the United States as your primary citizenship, the only thing that it would protect back then was the Negro, which it talks about in the Cruikshank and in the slaughterhouse cases, is that when that Negro came into one of the several states, he was protected just like the white guy. He got the same thing the white guy was already getting. That's all it said. He was going to be
free. Well, I try not to read all of these opinions and things when you just have the Constitution to go back to, you know, and the words. Even, you know, in the New York State Constitution, what would be the benefits? You know, if I already have those rights as a person, a man on the land, I have the rights to do anything I want except for common law issues like rape, murder, kill, you know, things like that, or steal. But, you know, what are the benefits? Why do I want to get involved with
they are very durable.
Like
I was telling you, okay, let's say that somebody murders your wife if you're married. What are you going to do? Are you going to go out and shoot the guy, or are you going to go to court?
You're right.
And try to
prove it? I am. If he shot my wife, if he murdered my wife, I'm going to go to
court. Okay, well, then the bottom line is maybe somebody thought that you did something, and they just come over and shoot you. Where's your protection?
When was the last time that any officer or any government protected anybody? They won't protect anybody.
No, you're not talking about a government protection. What you're doing is you're limiting the power of government. And we have gotten away from limiting the power of government. And the only way we can limit the power of government is to assert our state citizenship. We can't do it through national citizenship. That's what I was trying to tell you.
All right, but I was just saying, you know, he just said that if somebody murdered your wife, you go out and kill her. What if somebody thought you did? But the point is that that could happen any day anyway. The police don't prevent any crimes or anything.
We have to have, okay, let's just say you got in a property dispute with your neighbor. How are you going to prove it? You're going to shoot him or is he going to shoot you?
What would the dispute be about?
Huh?
You mean like,
how are you going to resolve? How are you going to resolve a legitimate dispute with your neighbor? Is what he asked.
Yeah, you got a property issue. Say he says, well, this is my property, and you say, no, it's my property. You shoot the other guy. Is that what you do?
No, but I think isn't there?
You have, remember, you have no court. You have no court. You have no government. You have no nothing. How are you going to resolve it? That's what we have. Every citizen or every civilization, whatever you want to call it, Jewish or whatever, you always had to have a means to resolve disputes. And if you want to be what's called an outlaw, then you just get out the biggest gun and whoever.
Truly, I believe that the only thing a government has the right to do is talk about, trespassing issues. I mean, personally, that's the only thing that I think a government has the right to do
we're not talking about government, and I think you've confused governments with citizenship. But thank you for
thank
your
you.
Call. We've
Wait
got
a minute,
because we're running short of time. Steve in Texas. Steve? Hello?
Over here?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Over here?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. Lewis called in and was talking about...
Can you hang on just a little while longer
while we
go to break? Okay, fine.
Sure.
We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
With Mother's Day rapidly approaching on May 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts, and when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses, dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com. Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Hi, we're back. This is Desi Andrews with Ralph Winterode, and we were talking to Steve in Texas. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello, Desi. A bug was put in my ear by a fellow patriot, and I went and did some research on this concept, and I want to run this by you and see if I'm on target here. Talking about unseating a judge during a case or whatever.
It's called recusing, Steve.
Recusing, yes. I went and read in the Black's Law Dictionary the definitions of oath, oath of office, oath or affirmation clause, fiduciary, fiduciary relationship, fiduciary bond, and bond. And after reading all these, it would seem that a judge should have what I'm going to call a bonded oath of office registered somewhere. Is this correct?
Well, it would seem.
It would seem.
Right. It would.
Are they supposed to? First, is a judge a fiduciary?
I don't know if a judge is a fiduciary or not. I think he has a duty and obligation, so that perhaps would make him give him a judiciary function. Ralph,
right.
You think he's a judiciary?
Fiduciary.
Ralph? Ralph?
Did we lose Ralph?
I think we lost Ralph.
Uh-oh.
I'm not certain that I would call a judge a fiduciary, but let's say that he is. Go ahead.
Okay. If he is, if a person could go to the county clerk's office where the judge is seated and find out that they have actually not posted a bond on their oath of office, could...
A judge in Texas doesn't post a bond anywhere. You can't find it, and you can't find it in the statutes where they have to. The only thing you can hold a judge to is you can say, I accept your oath of office, and I expect you to...
adhere to it.
Yeah, adhere to it, right, and protect my rights.
But, as a U.S. citizen, we don't have any, so that brings us right back to the topic of today's discussion.
Well, some of us are U.S. citizens.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
For those of us who are, unfortunately,
right.
fell for that hook, line, and sinker thing, well,
right.
We need to change our status to have a voice.
Steve, thanks for calling in. Let me take John, and then, because the program's we're just about through. John in Maryland.
Are you there?
Yes.
Hi. I have a question about a passport, and then I have a question about a spouse that's not willing to make a change.
Right.
A status. So can you address the passport issue and whether, well, I heard you once, and you mentioned to just put on the passport without, you know, the social number, you know.
Right.
999s or whatever, and then just return it. So I guess that kind of answers that. I don't know what else you want to add to it, but when I'm abroad, a lot of the banks and all, they don't want to work with people from the U.S. I guess that's because we are the property of the U.S. Is that why?
I don't know why people wouldn't want to work with people from the U.S. except that we do despicable things. So, I mean,
okay.
Other than that, I don't know.
Okay, so now, you know, the last one, would you address a spouse that's not willing, you know, to make a change of her status.
That's just one of the hardest things that there possibly is, and it just happens every day. And I can't give you any advice on that. I just tell you to work it out the best you can. People have to be who they are, and if one spouse goes one way and another, especially if you want freedom and you don't consider that you're a U.S. citizen,
yeah.
and you want all your rights, privileges, and immunities, and your unalienable rights, and your spouse doesn't understand that, it's just a problem of extreme magnitude. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Well, I'm basically I have to go with my heart because I want to be free. You know, that's, you know, the bottom line.
I understand that.
So, all right. Well, I enjoy the show. What happened to Mr. Bork? He was off today.
I don't know, but thank you for calling in, and I guess we lost Ralph, but goodbye for today.
In some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.